The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
From the book of Galatians, the gospel of grace, setting the captives free. And for our text we've been using these last weeks is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 6 through and 7. And it says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, as you were the promise that you would come and be with us, and we thank you for your presence here. Father, we thank you that we can come to you and that your divine presence is manifest through your Spirit, through the Word, your Son. And as we study this morning about this awesome message, we pray that it would pierce our souls. Lord, if there's anything in our hearts and minds that's contrary to the gospel of grace that has been presented in your Word and preserved, then, Father, I ask you to change our minds and change our hearts, that we might hear exactly what it is that you, the Spirit of God, would say to us, the church, this day. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Before I actually get into the message, let me just remind you that Dennis Cochran is he's home, limpingly home, but he's home. So we need to continue to lift him up in prayer for his complete recovery from surgery. And we do have someone in church this morning who has never in their entire life, I know it's hard to believe in America, but we have someone here who's never been in church before. Isn't that awesome? Her name is Sierra, and she's right back there, Jamie and Brian's brand new baby. Amen. Woo! I got to see Sierra in the hospital, and she wasn't doing too good then, but she looks like she's doing okay now, huh? Amen. I love to see mommies and daddies who bring their babies to church when they've just been born, just a week ago. So we're just so pleased that you're here, Jamie and Brian. And Dakota, is he here? He's in the back? Okay, I know he's glad to see his baby sister, Sierra, here. They're naming places in America, and I think they're going across the nation. There's no telling how many children they may end up in Brian and Jamie's home. Okay, with that said, just quickly to recap, just briefly about the book of Galatians and what Paul was saying. Primarily, his focus was that there is no gospel but the one that he presented. There's not another. There's no substitutes. There's not a, oh, yeah, but, you know, but no, this is it. And he made it very, very clear. Made it clear that Jesus is the only way. I know in today's society and a place of tolerance that we want to open the avenues for God to move in other directions and bring people into the kingdom in other ways. That may be okay to think that, but the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, and the ways of that thinking are the ways of death. So all we have is a gospel that tells us that Jesus Christ is the only way. And the third thing that Paul wanted to make sure we understood in the book of Galatians, that, and this is what stunned the people of his day, particularly Jews, is that it was inclusive and not exclusive. In other words, everyone could come in. Jews and Gentiles were everyone else, okay? So God wanted to make sure that through his servant Paul, when this was written, that there'd never be any doubt There's no one could say, well, I'm not included. I'm from a different religion. I'm from a different background, a different part of the world. This gospel is for everyone. All right? So with that said, we've covered several topics. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about what does law and grace do. By the way, those CDs are available in the back. You can pick them up. They're free of charge. All of our ministry material is free. Or you can go on the Internet and download it off the Internet or listen to the Internet if you're computer literate. Last week we spoke about how life in the Spirit conflicts with law, how life in the Spirit conflicts with the law. Okay, so you can get that one. And today we're going to go into who are the sons or who are the children of Abraham as our sermon for today. And then next week, you don't want to miss next week, some of you are going to get a mind stretching, all right? And it's why and when was the law added, and why and when did it end? All right, we're going to address that issue. And then finally, if the Lord lets me finish the series, what happens when the flesh and the Spirit collide? All right, so today, why are we children of Abraham? Let's look for our text, Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand that those who believe are children of Abraham. Now, you might say this morning, so what? What has Abraham got to do with me? I mean, he's an ancient guy who lived a long time, and, you know, he's, the only time you hear his name usually is he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What has that got to do with me today here at New Beginnings Church? If Paul were here, Paul would say this, everything. Everything. And today we're going to look at why I make that very bold statement. Paul makes several arguments about this gospel of grace. He spoke from a human perspective, sort of as the sons of Adam. And he said very eloquently and very forcefully, you must be out of your mind. Have you ever, you got a spell on you? You know, it's some kind of evil eye been put on you? Or you're so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or you're now going back to the things of the flesh? So he spoke about this gospel of grace from a human perspective. He then went on to speak about it from a legal perspective of Moses and the law, and said that the law couldn't do it. He said, if righteousness had come by the law, then there's no need for Christ. He also speaks from a historical argument, and that's where we are today, about Abraham. You see, Abraham has some very unique characteristics about him that you might pass by if you don't stop and smell the roses, as they say. Jesus addressed the issue of Abraham back in the book of Matthew. Now, let me see if I can put this in perspective so you will understand where this comes from. And let me use myself as an illustration. I'm very fortunate that my grandfather left Italy and came to America. Otherwise, I'd be growing olive trees in, you know, Sicily somewhere. But among the Italian culture, if you exclude the mafia part of us, you know, there tends to be this thing of kind of pride of being Italian, of being Sicilian. I think Frank Sinatra, probably one of our greatest Italian people, spoke about himself and his heritage. And it meant something, you know. If you're Irish, it means something. If you're black, it means something to you. You take pride in who you are. And we speak sometimes about our lineage. You know, who is, you know, some of you may be real big into doing this, family tree. I did a family tree and went back far enough for me to find out that there's no family on my tree. I don't know where they are. I don't know where. All I know is Papa came over here on a boat and around, and that's all I know, all right? I can't get any further than that. But to a Jew, and for those who are interested, it meant everything to know where you came from. And when we say, oh, yeah, you know, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we don't take much stock in that. But to a Jew, it was Father Abraham. He meant everything. They were a people because of Father Abraham. It was everything to them. And they took great pride in that. In fact, their pride became more than just a casual, oh, well, I'm glad to be Italian, Irish, or black, or whatever it may be. But it became something that overshadowed them. It became almost a heresy with them. Why, I am a child of Abraham. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God could raise up children of Abraham." Now, if you want to get in trouble, that's a good way to get in trouble. If you want to get the crowd upset, that's one good way of doing it, all right? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He upset them so much, they wanted to murder him for the things that he said that twisted their distorted version of who they were and what God's plan really was. Abraham was given the covenant. Now, when I say that, most of you are ready to go to sleep. Say, oh, what is the covenant? I'm not interested. Hurry up, Pastor. It's getting late. Get us out of here so we can beat the crowd. You know, when you start talking about covenant things. But the covenant is everything. We have covenants that rule our lives. We have covenants that control what we do. We just use a more contemporary word. We call them contracts. We have contracts that we abide by, that we live by. We make agreements to do certain things as we live in a lawful society. Well, before I get ahead of myself, I want us just to look at some of the reasons why we must be Abraham's children. And the first thing is that Abraham was the first to receive covenant promise. He was the first to receive covenant promise. Let's look, and remember I told you as we go through this, Galatians is kind of the condensed version of the book of Romans. And we'll find a lot of explanation in Romans of what Paul is telling us in the book of Galatians. So let's go to Romans chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Your salvation is based on what God has said and what God has done. It's what God said. It's what He spoke to Abraham about this covenant. Abraham was the first to hear the concept of a covenant. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and I encourage you to go read it for yourself. I won't be able to take it verse by verse this morning. But he said, God's got Abraham. And he said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. Because Abraham had complained that he didn't have any heirs. And he didn't want an heir, which was servant's child, which he was going to have to do legally. And he didn't want to do that. That was the way of doing things in those days. And God said to him, you will have a child. Abraham was no spring chicken, and neither was Sarah. They were past the age of producing children, so they thought. He said, your offspring are going to be so many. Let me show you something, Abraham. Let's go outside, and I want to show you something. So he took him outside. It had to be at night. He said, look at the stars in the sky. Your children will be more than what the stars are. He said, if you could count them. Take into consideration that the stars that we see in the night are only the stars primarily that are in our galaxy. And we know, because of Hubble and science, that there are galaxies beyond measure in the universe. There is no way to see all the stars that are in the universe. It can't be done. We can't see it with the naked eye. And he said, that's how many children that you will have. And he said, all the nations will be blessed in you. If God came to you and told you that, what would you do? You'd probably be saying, I don't think so. How in the world is that going to happen? Especially if you're of an age and you can't have any more children or you've never had any children. And that comes up and God says you're going to have children like the stars in the sky. First thing you'll be thinking about is I need to go to work, get enough money to pay for these kids. You know, you begin to look at things in the natural. But Abraham believed. And here's the thing that I want us to really grab a hold of this morning, that when he believed, God gave him or made him righteous. Righteousness was given to Abraham. Now, there are two things about righteousness. It's one of those big 50-cent words. And for us to really get it, two things. Righteousness means to be right and to do right. The problem is, we try to do right to be right instead of the be right to do right. You got that right? Did you get that? You got to be right to do right. You can't do right to be right. What you have to do to be right is to believe. Abraham believed. I got to give the guy credit. He's one of the greatest believers on the planet Earth. And God told him that and he chose to believe it. And when he chose to believe it, righteousness was given to Abraham. Now, God wanted to ratify this contract. One of the weirdest stories in the Old Testament takes place in chapter 15. God says to Abraham, we're going to ratify this contract, this covenant. And this is the way that they did it in that day. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to get a heifer. That's a steer. You know, it's a moo-moo, as we say when we drive down the street. You know, that's what that is. So he got a heifer, a goat, a ram, dove, and a pigeon. And what they did is they cut it in half. Let's say that George and I were going to go into a covenant agreement, we're going to make a contract together, we'd take an animal, we'd cut it in half, and we would walk between it, declaring that we are one in this agreement. It's a blood covenant, if you will. Something very, very strong. And that's what was going to be done. So Abraham got these animals, cut them in half, laid out both pieces. He didn't cut the birds in half. And he spent the rest of the day chasing the birds of prey away from these animals that had been cut in half. And he doing the best he could. The day waned. He never heard anything from God. Said he went to sleep. He went into a deep sleep. And when he did, a most remarkable event takes place. And sometimes we don't get it because we don't stop long enough to see what happened. The day has waned. Night has fallen. It says that Abraham is sleeping. This darkness came over him. No one is around. And something very unusual takes place. It says that a smoldering pot and a flame moved between those pieces of those animals that Abraham had cut up. Who was that? It was God Himself ratifying His covenant with Abraham and all the way through the centuries to you and I, so that it was not a covenant where Abraham was required to do anything, but God did it Himself. And that smoldering pot and that flame is way God manifests Himself many times in the Old Testament, where the presence of God was. There was a smoke that was there. There was fire that was there. Remember Moses at the burning bush. Remember the cloud that filled the temple. So, you know, there are just lots and lots of illustrations of that that took place. God walked through to make sure that Abraham couldn't say he made the covenant. It was God's covenant. It's God's agreement. You know, in the words of Rick Warren, when he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, it starts off, it's not about you. I just love that. I must have been inspired by God for him to write that. I just love it. It's not about you. It's about what God does. It's what he did. Abraham believed God. God made a covenant out of it. And the covenant was made and ratified by God himself. Now, we don't do those kinds of things today. But we do other kinds of things when we ratify contracts. People sign a contract. I've signed many contracts in my life in business. You ever heard this expression? You wanted to make sure something was so real and you were so determined that this was true that you would sign it in blood? You ever heard that expression used? Signed in blood? What about the old Indian custom? So I've heard, I don't have no proof of this, but they would make a covenant in blood. I've seen it in movies with John Wayne a bunch of times. You know, where they'd cut their hands and they would grasp each other's hands and their blood would mingle, that this was a really serious thing that was taking place. I love it when the signers of the Declaration of Independence, when they signed that document, I love what they said at the bottom of it. Said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our most sacred honor to this document. And that's what God did. He did that and all those things and so much more so that you and I could rest assured that what God had said, God will do. Amen. Don't trust me. I might say something today and change my mind tomorrow. I've been known to do that. And so have you. I love doing weddings. Where people say, you know, for better, for worse, richer, for poor, until divorce do us part. Don't say death because you're lying. It don't mean it anymore. It doesn't mean a thing. But God wants us to know that this was based upon his word, and Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. Are you getting this? Is this doing for you what it's done for me? Does it show you how real it is that thousands of years before the law showed up and before Jesus showed up and before all the things that we know about showed up, God was back in the middle of nowhere talking to a nowhere guy, giving him a promise that still is in effect today. God has not changed his mind that Abraham and his children and his children's children for all generations would be blessed. You ever sing that song, Abraham's Blessings Are Mine? We're blessed in the field, blessed in the store, blessed in our wherever we go. We have the blessings of Abraham upon us because we are the children of Abraham. All right, the second thing I want to talk to you about. So Abraham was the first. Is that Abraham was the first to be made righteous by faith. To be made righteous by faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. This is Abraham. It said, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
that's me.
That's me.
Here we go. But also for us.
Hallelujah!
To whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Hallelujah.
We receive righteousness just like Father Abraham. Abraham believed. And that is fast forwarded through the eons to you and I today, that we can find righteousness through faith in God and what He did through Jesus Christ, through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We try as best we can to do right, to be right, and fail every time. Whenever we get our behavior mechanism cranked in to try to make ourselves acceptable to God, it never works. Because we are frail people with a distorted, perverted consciousness of righteousness and of God and of behavior. So we are in this glorious place of having to do one thing to receive righteousness. We must believe. We must believe. When we believe, we are just like Father Abraham. We receive righteousness. God made the promise. He said, Abe, I think you call him Abe. Abe, you're going to have a bunch of kids. You're going to be blessed. The nations of the world are going to be blessed in you. And Abraham said, I don't get it, but I believe it. And he did. God said, that's good enough. God made the promise. God walked through the sacrifice alone. Abraham believed. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Now you might say, okay, I get it. But, so what? When you get to heaven, go ask that of Abraham. So what? You know what he'd say? If it wasn't for the so what, I wouldn't be here. Same thing you could say. What difference does it make if I believe or you believe? It means everything. Because it's by faith that we come into the presence of God and allow the blood of Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary to flow into our lives and wash away all of our filthy stains and to give us a new personality, a new being, a new creation, a new us, a new reality that never existed before, where we become sons and daughters of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Because the first Adam nature that we have doesn't work. I really enjoyed listening to Robbie's message when he was here a couple of weeks ago when I was out of town. And he talked about this nature that we have. He said that in the book of Genesis, God created Adam in His image. He created them male and female. And then something I've never seen before. That's why you need good preaching, because it'll make you understand things maybe you never saw before. And he said later on we see that when Adam and Eve began to have children, he said they were after His kind. That sin nature was being imputed to you and I as sons of Adam. It wasn't that way originally. But what happens when the second Adam shows on the scene, He gives us the original God nature that He always intended for us to have. We are a new people. We are different. We're a new kingdom. We don't belong to this place anymore. There's something so dynamic and so awesome that it exceeds the stars in heaven. It exceeds our imagination. It exceeds anything we could ever think or ask. It exceeds all that. And now, as Paul said, he said, we look through this glass darkly. We don't see it all. But one day, face to face, we shall know even as we are known. So today we kind of walk in this vague cloud with our demented minds. And for some of you who are as old as I am, know that the older you get, the more demented it gets. You know, and the less we know and remember, you know, we have these problems. We wake up in the morning and say, my name is. I do that every day. I want to make sure I know who I am. I think if I know my name, I'm okay. You know, but it, but it, but We're in this body, this shell that we carry around, and we've got all of these problems with it. But that this body, this person, this you, is inhabited by the King of Glory. And the Spirit of Christ dwells in those who believe, and you radiate the glory of God for all eternity. For you have been given eternal life. You've been given resurrected life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. That's what he told Martha. He said, I am the resurrection. And that resurrection life dwells in those who believe. And we are transformed and changed. It's exactly what happened to Father Abraham.
Amen.
And we are children of Abraham who believe just like him. Abraham was not made righteous by keeping the law. Do you know why? The law had not been given. There was no law. So we know he wasn't made righteous by the law. And he wasn't made righteous through circumcision. The Jews believed in circumcision. That was the big argument. One of the big arguments Paul was having in the book of Galatians. To circumcise any uncircumcised. Do you know why he wasn't made righteous by circumcision? Hadn't been done yet. Hadn't been told to do that. He was made righteous by divine grace when he responded to God and said, yes, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
By faith, he looked through the portal of faith to Calvary. He didn't know about Calvary. He didn't know the name of Yeshua. He didn't know Jesus' name. He didn't know about Golgotha. He didn't know about the garden. He didn't know about the resurrection. All he knew was what God had said, and he chose to believe what God said, and when he did, all the promises of God, from Abraham, righteous Abraham, to Jesus Christ on the cross, to the final trumpet of God, became true, yes, and amen, in Abraham's life. And we, as children of Abraham, have the promises of Abraham in our life today.
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Father Abraham. Thank you, Father Abraham, that you chose to believe. The seed of Abraham is Christ. Listen to this. The promises were spoken. This is in the Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say and to seeds. I didn't make this up. I'm just reading it. The scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. We're all familiar with a new word that's come up in the last 20 years of my life. I think it's been about 20 years, called DNA. You know, I knew ABC, CBS, and NBC, but now we have DNA. That's a new word. And my wife loves all these little acronyms. I have no idea what it stands for. It means something. But DNA, I understand what it does, what they're talking about. That we can tell. I can't find my family tree. But if somebody could get to the DNA, they could find them all the way back. There's that stamp of who we are from our lineage. All right? In the spiritual sense, we can trace our spiritual DNA all the way back to Jesus Christ. He had a very unique DNA. He was a one of a kind. He was 100% God and 100% man. And you and I have his DNA stamped on us. Isn't that awesome? That we are the children of God. We are made heirs of God. Join heirs with Christ, because when Christ takes up residence within you, just as your mom and dad's DNA took up residence with you and birthed you, his little Sierra back there, she's got DNA, mostly DNA, because I've seen her from Jamie, then a lot more than what's in Brian, because she looks a lot more like Jamie than she does Brian. Thank goodness. But that DNA is in that little baby. And Christ's DNA is in you. In the same exact way, if that illustration holds up, and I believe that it does. Third thing I want to talk about is Abraham's inheritance is for his children. Abraham's inheritance is for his children. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Here's the key. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, what happens is Christ dwelling in you is Abraham's seed dwelling in you. Christ in you. And you are an heir. Because of the faith, we go by faith DNA, not natural DNA. You get that? So it's by faith that we have this seed of Abraham dwelling within us. You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. See, it doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Slave nor free, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, what your position in life may be. Rich or poor. Male nor female, the greatest divider of our society, male and female. That doesn't matter anymore. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed according to the promise. That's God's covenant promise being brought here to us. With no heirship, there's no sonship. There's no righteousness without faith. There's no assurance without the promise. The only thing that really matters is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Is He in you today? Have you ever believed like righteous Abraham? Have you ever been to that place where you said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that old story of Jesus Christ and His righteousness, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived on the planet Earth, that He suffered at Calvary and died, that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that on the third day He was raised to new life. And that by that single solitary act of that single solitary man, that provision was made for you, that if you would just believe, you would inherit eternal life and be a sons of Abraham." Now, fortunately or unfortunately for me, I had two of the greatest parents who ever lived on the planet. I didn't always think that. But as I got older in life, I began to realize that. And in my office at my house, I have pictures of my mom and dad in various stages of their lives, some with little Mario, that's me, little guy, standing there with mom and pop. And as great as they were, and gave me a good life, as great as they were, they gave me a good life, they didn't give me any money. They died, and I got no inheritance. That's not true. I got a little bit. It wasn't enough for you to think about. Papa didn't have a whole lot of money. He just had a lot of sense, good sense. Not too many dollars. But you know what? That was my earthly father. I've got another father. And he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the whole universe. And he's got so much that he could pave the streets with gold. Doesn't make any difference to him. He's got so much he can make gates out of pearl. Doesn't matter to him so much he can make walls out of precious stones. Doesn't make any difference to you. My wife's got a diamond ring. You got to look at it real hard to see it. But it's a diamond. He's got diamonds. He just throws them around as big as boulders. It doesn't matter to him. But he has all these riches. Now here's the glorious part I love. That I inherit all that stuff. I am a rich man. And if you're in Christ, you're a rich man. They've got it all. I've got it all. Because of whose we are. We are His. And all the blessings of Abraham are passed down. Abraham was a wealthy man. He's a picture of God in many ways. He's got everything. And we inherit it. One thing nice about somebody who dies and they got a will and they got a lot of stuff, you get the stuff. Man, you got a will. It's already set out. God made out a will. It's called the covenant with Abraham. And it's passed on to you and I. That covenant can never be broken. It can never be shattered. The covenant of Abraham can only do one thing. It can be fulfilled. It cannot be broken. You know why? Because God made the covenant. And in the same way, the new covenant in the New Testament made in Jesus' blood was made by Him, not by you. You had nothing to do with it. And when He made that covenant and He came forth from the grave in new life, all of His promises are ours. And we have eternal life. And all the promises of God have been given to us who believe. It's important to believe. Wouldn't you think? Only those who believe will ever see God face to face. Amen. Let's all stand. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing you can do to become an heir. You either are or you're not. By birth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the great story of Father Abraham meeting you out in the middle of nowhere that day when you told him about the promises. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can live and breathe and have our being in the promises of God. Where this life may fail us, where our family may fail us, where our friends may fail us, our moms and dads, our children, where there's so much failure everywhere, we can rest assured on your word that says, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Thank you for that precious promise, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who might say, you know, Pastor, I just never really nailed it down. I never really found a place like Father Abraham to believe. Or like many in this room, I just never really did that. But today, I'd like to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus lived, that He died, and that He rose from the dead. And I'm willing to turn my life over to Him, to go away from my old life and to follow Him. Is there anyone here this morning who would like to do that? Like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? Just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I don't see any hands raised. So I'm assuming you're all children of God. Is that right? That wasn't a very big amen. Is everyone here a child of God?
Amen.
I like that a little better. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. The guests that you came, we're so glad you're here. I hope you've been approached by one of our greeters or ushers and got one of our little gift packages. We have it in the back. We'd love for you to do that. And also, do me a big favor, if you haven't done it already, please fill out the guest registration card. You see, I can go to heaven, But I don't get as high a place in heaven if I don't get my cards filled out. Not true. But it sure would do me well if you'd fill it out and just put it in the offering box in the back of the auditorium. Thank you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.